Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Good morning. Snow hasn't come yet. This afternoon, perhaps. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we love you with all that lays within us. And Father, we long to be with you, hoping and believing, trusting, O God, that your rapture is very soon. For you said if I could get 10 people to have the same mind, the mind of Christ, the rapture would take place. And Father, I believe that this little congregation is more and more becoming of that one mind. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, O God, to be ready for that day soon, knowing that all the signs are in, your prophet said. The only thing left was the readying of the bride. And Father, I believe that your bride has made herself ready. Help us, O God, as we continue in the study of Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. There's been so much truth that we've come to understand through this sermon of his. And knowing as a little washerwoman who had just one tape, he said that was enough to get her in because she had the Holy Ghost. And believing, Father, we also have the Holy Ghost. And believing because we do have the Holy Ghost, and you've given us your word, that when we open it, Father, we've been able to take hundreds of sermons, O God, from just one sermon that your prophet gave us. And so, Lord, knowing it wasn't your prophet's message, but it was your message, for you came down with a shout. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue in our study from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And today I'd like to read the next paragraph, which is 229 from Brother Branham's sermon. He says, not say my church done. My church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, one person. All hell is against his teaching. All hell's against his truth, but it is the truth. Jesus never said, now Peter, you and John and all the rest of the people, now you've got the revelation. Now the whole church is saved. No, it was to him personally. That's Peter he's talking about. And I say unto thee, not to them, to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the word Peter means stone. Stone means a confessed one or the separated one. Upon a certain stone, let me just put this up for you. And upon a certain stone, upon a certain thing, see, a called out, the church called out, upon this stone, upon this revelation. Flesh and blood never revealed it to you, but upon this revelation, called out group, I'll build my church in them, and all the gates of hell will never be able to withstand it. Not one hair of your head shall perish. You are mine. I'll raise you up the last days. Give unto him eternal life and raise him up at the last days. There it is, the revelation. Not them, but him, an individual, not a group, an individual. All hell is against this. Now, I know many of us have for years taken that as to be one man, one individual, that's Brother Branham, and that's it. Pretty much you're right there. However, if you don't have the same revelation that he has, you won't be in that group that goes in the rapture. Because the rapture is not just one person. The rapture is a group of individuals. And Brother Branham's trying to get us to think. Now, don't be thinking my church this, my church that. Your church is, listen, God's church is not this church. God's church is universal. So when I make comments about the church of God at the end time, the sin will be gone. There won't be any true believers. There won't be any make believers or unbelievers in it. I'm not talking about Grace Fellowship. I'm talking about the universal church of God, the true church of God, because those are the ones, the bride, that are going in the rapture. Now, he says in 2:30, he says, but his mystery is only revealed to his beloved bride. That's the only one who could see it. He said, well did Isaiah speak to you, you hypocrites, you snakes in the grass. You go out here and say, oh, the great holy prophets, and we mark their tombs and we polish them. And he said, you're the ones that put them in there. Did he say it? Same thing that they'd say to the Catholic churches in their day. When they were sent, the prophets of the Old Testament, before they had the Nicaea, Rome, up there, and them old prophets come out there eating grubs and things out of the ground, not even with clothes on. with sheepskin wrapped around them and they tried to stand for the truth of the Bible, but the Catholic Church wanted their intellectual conception. Then they brought out, there come St. Irenaeus and Polycarp and Martin, all the rest of them, and what did they do? They put them in the tomb. Joan of Arc, St. Patrick, and the rest of them, they put them in there. And now come back and whiten the walls like they did in Joan of Arc. What did they do? They put them in there. How many people go to Jeffersonville on their, you know, for whatever motives they have to go, but how many people go and they whiten the tomb of William Branham? Or they garnish it with flowers, or they garnish it with prayer requests and everything else. And Brother Branham said, you're the ones that put the prophets in there. Why did they not receive what he had to say? Why do they make a lot of issue about the man, his tomb, all these things? Why don't they just simply hearken to the message that he had for us? That's what Brother Branham's saying. May I say this? His Holy Spirit calls unto you. Whited walls, you hypocrites, calling yourself something when you take the intellectual conception of men and leave the word go. Instead of come pregnated with the seed of God, the word in you. You've taken every other hybrid. No wonder she said as a whore, because she commits spiritual fornication, teaching the people things of man and not things of God. But he said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. That's right. Certainly, there we have it. Notice again. She commits spiritual fornication, teaching the people things of man, not the things of God. So what is the definition of spiritual fornication? Teaching the things of man. You got your own ideas about it. You can erase the word of God because you are something special. The Bible in Revelation said that this great city reigned over the kings of the earth. Said she was a whore. What is that? A woman that claims to be a lady and commits fornication. She had a cup in her hand of toast to the world filled with the filthiness of the abominations of her fornication. And she had daughters of Protestant churches. They, every one of, came out of her with her same false doctrines, same baptisms, and by shaking hands instead of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and their false doctrine of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and all of that instead of taking the name of the bridegroom and so forth. And you say it don't make any difference. Well, it does. If I put my name on a check and said the Reverend or the Mister, Minister or so forth, that won't cash nothing. That's right. It's turned down at the bank. The name is very important. Notice, all right, but all this mystery is revealed only as he promised to his bride. Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery, but the bride is standing on it. That's her stand. So why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. But you let so many things get it out of you. You let your job. You let your wife. You let your husband, you let your children, you let the cares of this world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you. When you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting, hungry. It's God trying to reveal it to you, the revelation that the last days is here. Now notice now, let's look back again. I can't pass all of this. See, I just want to look here just a minute now, and we'll close just in a few minutes if you just give me your undivided attention for a minute. But notice Brother Branham says here, you let your job, or you let your wife, you let your husband, you let something, you let your children, whatever it is, it's something to pull you away from the focus, from the preeminence. He's coming again, very soon. What is our focus? Is our focus our job, our wife, our husband, our children, or is our focus getting the wife, the husband, the children ready to go in a rapture? Notice now, let's look again. I can't pass all of this. See, I just want you to look here for just a minute, and we'll close just a minute. Just give me your undivided attention for a minute. Now, notice Colossians, the 18th verse here. In the book of Colossians, 18th verse. Now, he is the head of the church, the body, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have the preeminence. He is the head of the church, which is his body, and he wants the preeminences. Now listen now. Listen close while we're going. Watch. He is to be the head of the body, his bride's body, which is taken from him, flesh and bone like him, like in Adam. See? Bride, born from the dead. See? That's born from the dead. Sin of unbelief. What killed Eve? Unbelief. Is that right? The unbelief in what? In what? For the unbelief in God. No. She had faith in God. Sure. Did she say there is no God? No, sir. She wasn't an infidel. Well, she said, you know, I don't believe his word at all. No, she didn't say that. She believed all but one little word, one little thing, see? Now, didn't the Bible say over in the book of Revelation, Jesus said himself, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things unto you. Whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it. And if all this heartache and sorrow had come because of some woman doubted or a woman doubted one word of God, will he let you back doubting one word? Now, just think about that. So many people say, well, that's not the unforgivable sin. So, you know, God can forgive that because God is God. Well, let me tell you something. When God says don't do something and you do it anyway, you're snubbing God and you're saying, I don't care about your grace. I don't care about eternal life. I want this thing. Brother Brown says, and if all the heartache and sorrow had come that we've seen throughout 6,000 years had come because one woman doubted one word of God, will God let you back doubting one word? He'd be unjust. See? See? That wouldn't be right. Condemned. Here's one man standing. He caused all of his heartache because of one word doubted. Then he goes ahead and takes years of experience and everything in the Bible and so forth, and the others who've given their lives for it, and then say, oh, you can go ahead and eat it. That's all right. I'll let you back in anyhow. Oh, God. God is no respecter of persons. See? God is no respecter of persons. And yet, why do they say, well, it's different for me? You're going to find most people, and this is a truism, you're going to find most people have two standards, one for themselves and one for everyone else. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you have one standard. And that's not your standard, that's his standard. You see? From the message oneness, Brother Brown said, now let's think seriously because we never be able to think anymore after this. After this mortal life is over, your thinking is now. You cannot choose after this. You must choose now. For this is the day of choosing. Make your choice. Now she, one word, not a whole dialogue, just one little word. She questioned God because it was presented to her in the light that the word was questionable. God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said. But she questioned it because it was presented to her. Oh, God surely didn't mean that, but he did mean that. God means every word that he says, and it doesn't need any interpretation, any private interpretation. It's just the way he said it. Well, you see, how do you know about the Bible? I believe that God has guided this Bible. He watches over his word. He knows that atheists and infidels would rise up in the last days, so he's watched over it. This is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way that it is to us now. Now, we must believe it, one word off of it, and we lose our fellowship, go off into death, eternal separation from God, just as Adam and Eve did. We must believe God's truth. Why was it that Jesus said, when they said, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and Jesus turned and said, and they are every one dead. And Brother Branham explained to us that means eternally separated. 2 million people, Jews, chosen people, left Egypt, and three entered in. Three of the original 2 million. What happened? That's a pretty big number to fall away. People rose up. People began to play. You know, Laodicea, kind of that spirit of people playing. They begin to worship the gold, the golden calf. They begin to Moses was up with God, in the presence of God. He was sincere. He was being sanctified. Moses, his whole life was what he was doing. And these people out there playing. Then complaining, oh, we loathe this manna. Well, they didn't make it, did they? They didn't make it. You say, surely God wouldn't just throw all those people away like dust. Well, he did. That's what a vindicated prophet said. Eternally separated. Eternally separated. Why do you think in Matthew 24 it says that there would be separation? And in Luke 16 it says separation. I was listening to a tape the other day of Brother Vail. He said, Luke 16, he said, Brother Branham explains that as a separation up by the rapture. One in the bed taken, one left, one here, one left. But in Matthew 24, which is the same thing, one in the bed, one left, two in the bed, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Same parable. But in Matthew 24, Brother Branham said, that's the word that does the separating. Because the word has got to separate, and then the rapture will separate. It was presented to her in that light that word was questionable. But God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said. Why is it so hard for us to, when the prophet says, do this or don't do that? We say, come on. He's an old fuddy-dud. Things have changed. Has it? Has it really? From the unfailing realities of God, Brother Ram said, but the Holy Spirit will bring you back to Pentecost every time. They did in the scriptures to everybody, and it will in this day to everybody. It'll bring you back to that reality. It'll bring you back to a baptism of power of the Spirit that'll lead you and will never take one word off of the Bible. It'll stay right in the Bible. Where it says this, it follows right on through it. The Holy Spirit will. It brings a reality. Is there, and I ask the question, I don't know what's in your heart. God does. But I ask you this question, all of you. Is this message a reality to you? Is the final days a reality to you? Is God a reality to you? Is he part of your everyday life? Is he part of every moment, every waking moment of your life? If he's not, you need to get to your knees. It'll bring you back to the baptism of power of the Spirit that'll lead you and will never take one word off of the Bible. It'll stay right in that Bible. Where it says that, it follows right on through it. The Holy Spirit will. It brings a reality. And what did he do? He had to get these ignorant fishermen, didn't even have clothes. Some just wrapped around, something just wrapped around them. Fish aprons and so forth. No clothes. So ignorant they couldn't even sign their name. Unlearned. No education, but he found somebody. He had to get somebody. He found men in that kind of a state that was willing to surrender. That was willing. Now, can you imagine, I don't know, how many have ever been to a third world country to where you've seen the dire poverty where people don't have even shoes for their feet? Where people can't sign their names. They can't write. They can't read. That was Peter. And upon this rock, Peter. Upon this revelation. You see, he didn't have to be able to read to get the revelation. Faith cometh by hearing. They had nothing else to hold on to, he says. They didn't have any churches, any denominations or anything. They were just ignorant fishermen, sheepherders. Didn't know how to write, didn't know how to read, nor nothing. But they had nothing to lose. And he got to them and they surrendered and they said, whatever you say, Lord, we'll do it. We'll follow you. Now, who is he? He's the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. Because the Word is a seed, then it must be his Word, life, seed. That's in you. Now, you know that I've taught you for many years that you're not going to make it on just a mental conception. And you know that's true. But I'm also telling you that you won't make it on word plus either. It isn't word plus. It has got to be the word, period. Brother Branham said, from questions and answers, there's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of. And that is a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. So if God's vindicated word says that there is no one evidence, then anything else is word plus. The problem is that people do not know what the word of the hour is. Some believe it is that God sent a prophet, and that's all they believe. Others think the word for the hour is God sent a prophet, and a fivefold ministry is to take them the rest of the way. And others still think that the word of the hour is the parousia and the Godhead. While others think that the word of the hour is the stature of a perfect man, you know, the thunders. Or two souls or some other doctrine. But the word of the hour is still ongoing. It is not some piece of word, but it is the word that applies to you. Did you know that? It's not the word that applied to Brother Branham. It's the word that applies to you. There's going to be an adoption. We're in the process. There's a spirit of adoption. It's in the bride right now. It's getting you ready from the baptism up to the change of the body. Somewhere along this path we are. Where are you along that path? Have you stepped into that path? Have you been claiming every day that you're his child, his son, his daughter? Have you been talking to him about your inheritance, about your adoption, about how all you want to do is to please him? Do you have the testimony that Enoch had? Do you ask him to manifest you as a son, just like you manifested his son Jesus as a son? You see, we have promises for the bride. We have a promise of the change of the body. We promise of the change of the mind. Promise that the hearts of the children will be brought back to the hearts of the fathers. We have many promises that are for you and you. And they're for you specifically. Brother Ram said, if there's only one in your city, you believe that you're that one. So what word applies for you? Brother Ram said, you look in the scripture, you find the word that applies for you, and you step into it, you claim it. In Revelation 22:18, we have, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out and from the things that are written in this book. Well, I can show you where God put John 14:12 in the Bible. You show me where he took it out. I can show you where God said that that when they received the Holy Spirit, a certain condition, certain life took place. You show me where it took it out. You show me where the Bible says that, oh, I believe, therefore, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll show you where the Bible says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'll show you where the Bible says that we are to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You show me where he took it out. He never told us to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's not a name. You show me where he put those things in there. You see, why can't we take the simple word of a vindicated prophet or the simple Bible that's been before us and believe it as it's written? Why do you think Brother Branham had so much success? Because so much success with God, if I want to call it that, if you want to call that success. Because he believed God. The Bible says Enoch believed God. The Bible says that Elijah believed God. Moses believed God. So he says, if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, take away, what does that mean? Well, those things, you know, the works that I do, that was for somebody else. That was for another age. Miracles and divine healing, that's for another age. Days of miracles are past. What's going to happen to those people? Their name is taken out of the book of life. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. Well, what about, he says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. That means tribulation. Adding to, like what? Coming up with your seven thunders doctrines, your two souls doctrines, the pastor is a spiritual husband, doctrines, all those doctrines that have been brought about because people have taken the word of a prophet and tried to twist them because, as Brother Vail said, their minds are muddy. So don't mess with the word, brother, sister. Just leave it alone. As Brother Brown said after he preached the seals, which was very, very deep, and he said, so what do we do, Brother Branham? He said, just live a good, godly Christian life. That's your part. Live it and love him with all your heart. Don't mess with the word. Just leave it as it is. But find out what word promises are for you for this hour. And don't try to make it say something it doesn't say. That's where people go off. And remember, one word off and you're finished. You're adding to it will put you in tribulation. You're taking from it will take your name out of the book of life. God don't want you to mess with his word. Just keep it the way he said it. And here's another thing to remember. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessings, the first 15 verses, and curses, the rest of about 45 more verses. Why? Because they don't hearken to the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord? It's his prophet. It's not his teacher. It's not his pastors. It's the voice of God is the prophet to the age. And there's only one prophet. There's only one voice to an age. And that is a vindicated prophet that God sent. And if you don't hearken to that voice, which means pay attention, pay close attention to it, the plagues is what you get. If you pay close attention to it, you have the blessings. Now, it's not rocket science. It's very, very simple. Believe God's prophets, and the Bible says, you shall prosper. Well, if you don't believe them, you're not going to prosper. That's what the Bible says. So how can we have people saying, don't listen to the vindicated prophet? You know what they're saying? Don't listen to the voice. You know what they're saying? Don't listen. Don't hearken to the voice of God. And what are they going to get? Plagues. That's what they're going to get, tribulation. They're going to get plagues, and they'll start before tribulation. They'll be getting the plagues. Just as sure as I'm standing here right now, those who will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, watch their life. It's going to go into a downhill spin. So don't mess with the word. And remember, one word off, you're finished. From the message Oneness, Brother Branham said, now, let's think seriously, because we never be able to think anymore after this. After this mortal life is over, your thinking is now. Oh, I already read that. 2 Thessalonians 1, and we'll close. Verse 7 to 12. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That's endoxazo. That means magnified in your flesh, the glory, the values, the opinions, the judgments of God, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What's it all about? It's about a falling away. A great falling away is taking place in this hour. It has to come. It's strange the way it has come. People in this message for 30 years that would quote the prophet left and right, create websites, believe the sign and all these things to get you to look to the prophet, and then now they're saying he's a liar. We don't believe him. Their women are cutting their hair. They're putting on earrings. They're bobbing their hair. They're putting on makeup because they say, oh, you know what? He's not the prophet of Malachi 4. We're looking for another. I'm sorry, but the rapture is taking place right now. The shout has already taken place, and they have no clue that we're in a rapture. And right now, if there's a falling away, it's a falling away because we're in the rapture. I will take one, I'll leave one. Two in the field, I'll take one, leave one. Two in the bed, I'll take one, leave one. What is the rapture but the word manifested? Right? What's happening now? The word manifesting. People can sit in a church for 20, 30 years and hear nothing. But when the light of the gospel begins to shine, and when the word becomes very specific and the light shines strong, whatever seed you are, it will manifest what it is. That's exactly what's taking place. It's happening around us in this message. The doctrine has gone forth. The people know it. Now they've turned it down. Now they will be judged. What's there left? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and go off in a rapture. Noah preached repentance for 120 years. He built an ark, was to everybody out there was a total fool. But he and his family continued because he had a revelation. Then one day he walked into that ark and God shut the door. And there's coming a day, as Brother Bram said, we read it last night, you cross that line and the door is shut. We need to have patience. I believe if it isn't this spring, it's coming. It could be very possible this year that we're going home. You say, no man knows the day or the hour. I didn't say the day or the hour. But we do know the season. And we are in the season of it right now. And one day soon, Things are going to start popping, and they will pop so fast. You'll see people scrambling back to church, and there won't be nothing left. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Peter Gatcher sent me some quotes from Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, one of these days, God is going to pull off his fivefold ministry off the earth, and there will be no word, and the people will search high and low, and they won't find it because there's going to be a famine in the land. And he said, God will take his fivefold ministry off the scene, and then that'll be the end of it. So we're living in that hour. It's very much upon us. It's very close to us. When it comes, all I say is just be prepared. Because I'll just put it this way. Thomas Aquinas, he said, if you have faith, you don't need an explanation. But if you have no faith, no explanation is good enough. We had a prophet who came. But do we have the same faith that he had? Because if we don't, we won't enter into that same promise. I believe I'm going to be in that tent. I've already seen it. God's shown me. I'll be there. Will you be there with me? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly, reverently approach you with all that lays within us. We love you with all our heart. We take the words of your prophet very seriously. We preach 2 days of sober, very sobering messages, Lord. But this is the day of our salvation. This is the day we have to make our choice. Because time is running out. It's beginning to blend with eternity. The nations are vying against one another. The seasonal changes have become so extreme. We know the birth pains of this earth is getting ready to bring forth a new earth. So Father, one by one, we ask you, help us, O God, to be focused. May the preeminence of you, may you be the preeminence in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee? May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.